TED Audio Collective.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Canva. A quick new idea, daily, from the world's greatest TEDx Talks. I'm your host, Atossa Leoni, and this is TEDx Shorts.
Discussions around climate change and environmental conservation have gone on for decades, often led by Western science and researchers. But if we want to deepen the conversation, it means including the work and expertise of more communities. And Albert Wiggin says that researchers specifically need to recognize indigenous knowledge in science. Albert is an environmental consultant with the Nyulnyul Rangers and Indigenous Chair for Bilbies, Australia's national recovery team. In today's talk, he shows why it's imperative to recognize Indigenous voices in science, especially when it comes to climate change.
For the first few years of my life, my siblings and I, only with our parents, lived on a small isolated island off the remote coast of the Kimberleys. In this island, I learned to understand the unique symbiotic relationship I, as a human being, had with the natural world, purely because our survival depended on it. Our lifestyle and our choices weren't influenced by politics. It wasn't influenced by economics. It was influenced by nature. The tides, the seasons, the weather. And so we started to appreciate this really fundamental concept is that we can't have one without the other. We all need each other to depend on one another. I was then sent to an all-boys private school in Perth. Coming from such a beautiful, natural, untouched, unspoiled area of the planet, I was able to witness the impacts of capitalism, the impacts of consumption, extraction, greed. And so I started to learn, I guess, how different people interpreted what is it that they call knowledge. Western science tends to refer to indigenous knowledge as traditional ecological knowledge. And that's a really great interpretation. Take my hat off to whoever came up with that. But for me, I refer to it as indigenous science because it is the foundation of knowledge that was developed through the same principles as Western knowledge: observation, experimentation, analysis, you know. And so when you look at those aspects of how that knowledge was created, sounds like science to me. And I recognize that there are researchers and scientists all over the country that really appreciate the value that indigenous knowledge can have in regards to sustainable management practices, in regards to sustainable social architecture, in regards to what political and governance should actually, responsibility should look like. And for me, I think there's an incredible opportunity in that as a young indigenous man, because we all are now facing a fundamental threat, which is climate change. Nobody knows enough about it Nobody knows the implications. But I can refer to my mob that has witnessed for thousands of years floods, droughts, ice ages. And so the knowledge that was collected and developed was then in order to adapt to those changes, in order to become resilient to those sort of changes, was passed on and embedded in my indigenous people's cultural practices, in their management practices, in their social systems. We hear this term, songlines. It's all there, baby. We need to seriously appreciate and integrate indigenous knowledge as part of mainstream operating processes. Not only in conservation and land management, it has to be in so many other industries and other aspects of our life. And the only reason why I say that is because this is a system of management that has existed for 60,000 years. And incredibly, in Australia, it still exists in certain parts of this country, including the Kimberleys. And so I think, you know, there's a really great opportunity here for science and indigenous knowledge to create a real force to be reckoned with when it comes to stabilizing our planet, when it comes to stabilizing our existence as Homo sapiens. And I don't think you can have one without the other. And they will both complement one another if we be serious about integrating that knowledge as part of mainstream awareness and practice. Because I genuinely believe that the solution lies with all of us. And capitalism, oh my goodness, which is driven by politics and economics, it's killing us. And what we really need to do is make a really strong decision and shift in our minds about what are we going to do with the legacy we leave behind. I'm really lucky to be able to stand here and share this story on behalf of all of my people that are so isolated and remote and give them a voice of hope. Hope that with this world really wants change, and hope that this world is going to achieve that change.
The TEDx talk you just listened to was recorded at a TEDx event in Sydney, Australia. All TEDx events are independently organized by volunteers who believe in TED's mission of ideas worth spreading. Special thanks to the organizing team at TEDx Sydney. Visit TED.com/TEDxShorts to listen to the full talk and learn more about TEDx Shorts. I'm Atossa Leone. Thanks for listening, and see you tomorrow.